There's always other people affected around us when we are disobedient. Folks, you need to realize you're hurting more than just yourself when you choose to disobey the Lord. And it may be in simple ways. God says, go preach. He goes the other way. The Word of God says we need to be together. We need to be functioning properly. Maybe you're being disobedient in that.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, we've been looking at the life of Jonah, and this is one that we often reduce to a story about a big fish. But as we'll see today, it's really far more than that.
You know, Dave, the focal point of this true story is certainly God's miraculous use of a big fish to accomplish his purposes. But you're right. There is so much more. So today, we're going to take a deeper look into the life of this man, Jonah. Who was he? What was he really like? How did he make his decisions? And it's my prayer that God will use these moments together as we look at the life of Jonah to convict us of any wrong thinking so that we would confess it and draw closer to him. So if you have a Bible handy, would you turn with me to the book of Jonah?
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. That's like I'm dying. Thou hast heard my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me, and all thy breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look towards thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. It's bad. He's going down. He's drowning. Right? Okay. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. We'll see that when we look at it. Salvation is from God. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. It appears that the way it's structured, that this is the third day and he's remembering his prayer from the belly, from when he was going down, and then he prayed and then the fish vomited him up. So was Jonah ready to obey? I believe so. He reluctantly. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, proclaim to the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Proclaim my words, Jonah. I'm going to tell you what to say. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. That's a long journey. He did it. He got up. He did it. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk. He'd about 1/3 of the way through. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And then we looked earlier at the Ninevites' response. What a tremendous response. Then the people of Nineveh believed. They believed. They believed, and we looked at it earlier. We saw their repentance in sackcloth and ashes. We saw the king's proclamation. We saw them saying, well, maybe the Lord will relent. There was nothing in Jonah's proclamation that said God wasn't going to do it. And they just called upon the Lord to relent. They turned from their wicked ways. Verse 9, who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. This is incredible. They really repent. As Jesus said, the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And if you're a true believer, you're going to see the men of Nineveh someday and talk with them. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Well, what does God do? Verse 10, chapter 3. When God saw their deeds, that they had turned from their wicked way. Folks, real repentance includes a turning to God from your wickedness. So people say, I believe in Jesus, I repented, and they go on their way in their sin. Sorry. I'm not saying you don't struggle. I'm saying true repentance turns to God from sin. When God saw that they had turned from their wicked way, then God relented. He didn't do it. Let me sidetrack for a minute here. God declares that he will judge all men everywhere through Christ. The wages of sin is death, and he will pour out his wrath and judgment on you if you do not repent. How do you know if you've really repented? There's a turning to God from sin. And that's what we see in the Ninevites. Scripture declares that Christ is the only hope for salvation. He died for your sins. He took God's punishment. He died for your sins, and he died for the sins of the wicked Ninevites. If you cry out to him for salvation, truly recognizing your sin before him, he will save you. He's a gracious God. He will relent from his judgment upon you if you trust in Christ. So what's Jonah's response now? Praise the Lord, the Ninevites have repented. Is that Jonah's response? These wicked men have turned from their wicked ways. They're no longer wicked. Those things I hated about them, they're not doing anymore. Praise the Lord. What happened to Jonah? Chapter 4, verse 1. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. This is what throws us off. Wow. This guy is messed up. Maybe he's like us. And I think one of the lessons from this book for Israel, because it was written to Israel, ultimately, is that they're unlike God too. That maybe they're just like Jonah. And maybe some of us are just like Jonah. Maybe we're not concerned about God's work at all. We really don't care about God's work, what he's doing in the body of Christ, bringing people to salvation and making them and conforming them to the image of Christ. Maybe we get displeased when we see those things because we're about our own stuff. Jonah got angry. Now listen here, he prays to God. Maybe not so smart to pray to God in your anger unless you're going to repent. But he says, he prays to the Lord. Please, Lord. Listen to this prayer. Verse 2. And he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall us, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. Now notice, God is everything the opposite of Jonah. Jonah's angry, displeased. God is slow to anger and gracious and compassionate. And one who relents concerning calamity. And therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Wow, this guy's got a problem, right? But we're like him at times too, aren't we? Maybe in different ways. And God may be using this to work on us. Greatly displeased, Jonah. Now the depressed, it's a great lesson on depression, by the way, which comes from anger that's unresolved. The depressed, angry prophet is taught a lesson about compassion here. Notice he says, please take my life from me, for death is better than me. And that's amazing. Jonah is so unlike God. He is so unlike God. Apart from God's intervention, I believe anger driven by selfishness leads to death. Folks, God intervened here. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give Satan a place. It's very dangerous, even for a believer. You start thinking weird and wrong and twisted, and Jonah's thinking is very twisted here. He is so unlike God. And what was the Lord's response? And the Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? Perfect response from a perfect God. Do you have good reason? The implied answer is absolutely not. And Jonah keeps silent here. We don't see a response. Verse 5, then Jonah went out from the city, sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. Obviously, a few days have gone by, at least three, yet 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. At least 3 days in the whale have gone by. And now he's sitting there, so there's 37 days left, possibly. And he's going to sit down and wait for God to destroy this city. So what does the Lord do? So the Lord appointed a plant to grow up over Jonah, to be shade over his head, to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. That's amazing. But God appointed a worm when the dawn came the next day and it attacked the plant and it withered. One more day, now 36 days till Nineveh destroys Jonah's heart. And it came about that the sun came up, that God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry even to death." And it's really amazing, right? But you know what? We're going to see, I believe, as we go through this, there's a lot about Jonah that's like us that God wants to change. He wants to change us. He doesn't want us. And I believe we're going to see that Jonah changed too. Now the Lord addresses this by showing that he's a compassionate God. Verse 10, "Then the Lord said, 'You have compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, and it came up overnight and perished overnight.'" You had compassion on something that's really basically worthless. "And should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and left hand, as well as many animals?" He's talking about basically innocent people there and animals. "Should I not have compassion on them?" And that's how the book ends, in a question. The question that reveals God's great compassion and Jonah's lack of compassion. Now that's a brief overview of Jonah. We ripped through there fast, and Lord willing, we'll go through and really pull it apart and see in depth what we've seen already. With that, I want to close with looking at the man Jonah, and then next week we'll go in verse by verse and look at the book. And I believe we need to understand from Scripture what Jonah is like. We've already seen it, but he is so unlike God. You can turn back on the other side of your notes, and maybe he is unlike us. We are so unlike God also. Okay, so 2 Kings chapter 14 already pointed out the fact that Jonah lived during the time of King Rehoboam II in the Northern Kingdom, and Jonah was a prophet to the Northern Kingdom. And by the way, he was from the region of Gath-Hepher, and just a side note, this totally blows away the wicked Pharisees. They told Jesus, "You are also not from Galilee, are you? Search and see, no prophet arises out of Galilee." Well, Gath-Hepher is in Galilee. Jonah came from Galilee. So a little side note there, John 7:52. But what else do we know about Jonah? I'm going to go through just briefly some points we've already seen as we've looked through. First of all, he knows the Lord. He knows about the Lord. He prays. He's orthodox in doctrine. His doctrine is pretty straightforward. He said he's a Hebrew, verse 9, chapter 1, Hebrew. "I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." That's true, right? That's right from Genesis, right? He prays in chapter 2 and chapter 4. He prays to the Lord. And in that prayer in chapter 4, it really shows us that he knows a lot about God's character. He says, "I knew," verse 2, "that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." That's truth about God. Gracious, compassionate. And I tell you today, God will relent concerning the calamity of your judgment if you repent and trust in Christ. He's a gracious God. Jonah knew about God. Jonah's doctrine was sound, yet there was something terribly wrong with Jonah. As we will see, he was laden down with sin. And folks, when you are laden down with sin, what you know about God gets twisted and corrupted, and you see it in the wrong light. And we see Jonah was all messed up, even though he knew the truth about God. So what else do we know about Jonah besides he knew the Lord, prayed, and was disobedient? But we see, first of all, he was, first and foremost, disobedient. Chapter 1, "Arise and go and proclaim," but Jonah went the other way. Disobedient. God says this to Jonah. Jonah does this. He's disobeying God. Folks, never lighten the consequences of being disobedient to God. It is dangerous and a deadly thing. Sometimes, maybe some of you are like Jonah. God, through different passages, declares how you are to function. Jonah was a prophet. He was to go proclaim. That was his function for the Lord. God proclaims to us in the body of Christ what we are to be about. We are to be gathering together. We're to be growing the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're to be proclaiming His excellencies. We're to be serving one another. We're not to forsake our assembly. There's a ton of stuff. Maybe some of you are like Jonah in that way. You just say, "God says this, but I'm going to do my own thing." Folks, there's bad stuff coming. And God loves you. You need to just confess it and do what He says. Jonah didn't do that at first. He was disobedient. Secondly, he was selfish and unconcerned about others. God hurls this great storm on these guys, and Jonah is downstairs sleeping, and the captain says, "What are you doing down here?" He's unconcerned about these other people and their possible death, which he knows is his fault. Folks, this is a sign that you're really deep in sin when you're sinning and you don't care about the effect around others. Jonah was like that, selfish and unconcerned. Maybe God is disciplining some of you, and the consequences are affecting others around you. Maybe it's a spouse, it's children, whatever it might be. Just confess your sin and get right with the Lord. Well, we also see Jonah was reluctant to respond to God's discipline. Chapter 3, we see he does go out and preach, right? He does obey reluctantly because chapter 4, he's still waiting for God to pour out his wrath. So he's reluctant. He's got reluctant obedience. He still isn't right with God, right? Even though he's obeying. God still works on him, and he wants to work on us too. We also see he was displeased, depressed, and angry. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he wanted to die. He was depressed. I'd rather die. Right? Folks, some of you might be angry, and you are displeased because of your selfish view of life. Maybe your selfish view of God's work in the church. Don't be like Jonah. Jonah was greatly displeased, very selfish, and it almost brought him to the point of death. It's very serious. Well, Jonah was also stubborn. He made a shelter for himself, sat on it to see what would happen to the city. Stubborn. God's still going to destroy it. I shared earlier, Jonah had deadly thoughts. 4 verse 3, "Therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better than life." That's a deadly thought. That's an evil thought. Same thing later on in chapter 4. I just want to say, don't mess around with anger. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We'll see this as we go through. It's a dangerous, dangerous, sinful emotion. It turns to sin very quickly. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your, it literally is irritation. If you're irritated by sundown, you're going to give Satan a place. It's dangerous. Satan sure had a place in Jonah's life for a while. And then lastly, we see he lacks true compassion. Jonah didn't have compassion for him. He didn't care at all for their salvation. He wanted God to zap him. Folks, we need to really be careful. We need to be careful what sins we allow to go. We need to confess and keep short accounts with God. Jonah is the world's worst missionary. God says go, he goes the other way. And we are all ambassadors for Christ, and maybe we in some fashion might be like Jonah. I pray that his word convicts us. But with that in mind, we wonder, well, what was about Jonah? It ends in a question. Was Jonah really saved or not? Well, just to finish up, I believe there's good news that I believe Jonah probably did respond to God's discipline. And there's a few reasons why. Back in our 2 Kings passage, and we'll close with this, verse 25, chapter 14, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through, listen to this, his servant Jonah. Now, in the Old and New Testament, there's not a very long list of those in whom the Lord calls my servant or his servant. Besides Nebuchadnezzar, who ultimately would come to faith, who was used unwittingly by God to pour out wrath on his people, we see people called my servant or his servant, the smallest, Job, Jacob, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, David, Ahijah, Elijah, Isaiah, Hezekiah, Zerubbabel, Israel, Jesus himself, and Jonah. His servant, Jonah. I believe this is one possibility that leads to the fact that maybe Jonah did repent. That Jonah did repent and was eventually obedient. Secondly, I think because of the way this book is written, it's obviously autobiographical. He's speaking of himself. It's evident that Jonah wrote the book. If you're not repentant, you don't write a book like this, right? If you've got stuff in your life like this and you haven't been right with the Lord, you're not going to write this. And I think Jonah ultimately did respond. And that's what the Lord wants to happen for us. So then we've seen Jonah is the world's worst missionary, at least at that time. We looked at the context. Israel is on the spiral to discipline. Nineveh is on the spiral to judgment. We've perused the whole book, and we've looked at Jonah. And now may the Lord bless us as we go in depth in the next few weeks. So what can we gather from this introduction to the book of Jonah? First point, if you don't believe Jonah is a real guy and the story is real, examine yourself because Jesus says it is. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And he makes it clear that those who don't hear his voice don't believe. I'd examine your heart. If you don't believe it, I'm going to say to you right now, the Lord knows your heart, but I wonder if you're saved. God's gracious to point that out. Secondly, for those who don't believe, judgment is coming. Calamity is coming. But God is a compassionate God who relents. He's saying it's coming. It is appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. It is coming. But God will relent concerning your judgment for your sin if you trust in Christ who paid the penalty for that sin. God will relent. He's a compassionate, gracious God. Well, what about for us believers? What can we gather from this introduction? First of all, you can willfully, joyfully, obediently serve the Lord now and receive the temporal blessings and eternal reward by serving a great God. Or you can go down the difficult road of discipline. We're going to see it was difficult. Secondly, believer, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't even be irritated by nighttime. Don't give Satan a place. It's very ugly, and we see it in the book of Jonah. It's very ugly. Sin is serious. Don't allow sin to control your life. It may take you to death. And there's always collateral damage around us when we sin. There's always other people affected around us when we are disobedient. Folks, you need to realize you're hurting more than just yourself when you choose to disobey the Lord. And it may be in simple ways. God says, go preach. He goes the other way. The Word of God says we need to be together. We need to be functioning properly. Maybe you're being disobedient in that. People are going to be hurt around you. Confess it. God will forgive you. You'll be restored. Well, what about the rest of us who want to follow the Lord, who are keeping short accounts with Him when we sin? What about those of us who desire to be obedient in all things? It's my prayer that He takes this book and He convicts us of the hidden things we don't see, that we would grow more in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our compassion would grow towards those God is compassionate towards, that we would become not unlike God, but more like God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message from Jonah?
You know, Dave, when we choose to sin, we often don't realize there's going to be fallout. There's going to be collateral damage. And that's exactly what we saw today in Jonah's story. The sailors' lives were put at risk because of Jonah's disobedience. So my question to you today is there any sin in your life? Is there any area that you haven't confessed and turned to the Lord for forgiveness from? If there is, I guarantee there are others in your life who will be suffering because of your sin. So with that in mind, are you willing to go to the Lord, confess your sin, and make things right, not only for yourself, but for others in whom your life has affected? Remember, we serve a gracious God and He is faithful and just to forgive you when you confess your sins.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.